A very warm welcome to all of you joining us for this live session at Latticework 2021. Very excited for this conversation between my good friend and terrific crossover investor, Ram Parameswaran, and a terrific entrepreneur, Dan Lewis, who is revolutionizing, if that word's not overused, the U.S. trucking industry. And Ram will say a few more words about Dan and what he's up to with Convoy, but I just want to give a little background on Ram here. He is the founder of Octahedron Capital, a global growth-oriented investment firm that makes concentrated investments in leading public and private companies that drive the world's internet economy. Before Octahedron, Ram was a partner and portfolio manager at another terrific crossover firm, Altimeter Capital. And so Ram really has a tremendous amount of experience, both public and private. And I think it helps his investing in both of those areas. And so when I want to know what's going on in terms of companies before they hit the public markets, I look to Ram to tell me what are the hottest private companies right now, who's doing some really interesting stuff. And that's how we got to Convoy. So Ram, why don't I turn it over to you to take it from here?
Well, thank you, John, and appreciate you having me and my friend Dan Lewis at Latticework 2021. And by the way, every single of the streaming sessions you've done so far has been world-class. So I've just learned a lot. So I encourage a lot of people to sign in future years. So I am super excited today. I've got my friend Dan Lewis. Dan is the CEO of Convoy. It's a company based in Seattle. And we're going to talk a lot about Convoy today. But before Convoy, Dan, I think, was one of the senior execs at Amazon. He was at a startup that was acquired by Google and was a group product manager at Microsoft. So he has the triumvirate of all the companies in the Seattle area, I think, at this point. And I think he was a consultant before that and an undergrad from Yale. And we bonded one time when you came over to our house and you stayed overnight, had dinner and stayed overnight in our extra couch. Is that fair, Dan?
That's fair. Just always trying to save a couple bucks for the company and freeload on your in your house in San Francisco.
Absolutely. Please feel free to preload with us. So Dan, real pleasure to have you here. I think I've known you for a few years now. And one, it's impressive to see how you've grown over the years. And more importantly, how Convoy has grown. And I'm very grateful that after many years of knowing you, you've allowed us to be part of your cap table. So I'm excited to work with you over the next hopeful decade or so.
Yeah, absolutely. It's awesome to be here. Thanks everybody for showing up today and hope we have a great discussion.
Absolutely. So Dan, you have this incredible background in technology and supply chain optimization, most recently at Amazon. You can do a lot of things. You're a very talented person. You could do a lot of things in your life. Talk to me about what got you started. Why did you pursue this particular space? And maybe even better, before we start, give us an introduction of Convoy. What do you guys do right now? Like, what is Convoy all about?
Yeah. I'll start with what Convoy is. So the core business that Convoy offers today is full truckload delivery services for companies that are shipping freight in the United States. And what that, so the dollars in revenue that's spent on trucking every year in the US is approximately $1 trillion, about 80% of total freight spend. The other 20% goes to rail, air, pipeline, and ocean. So it's a really big business. It's the number one employer in the country based on number of people that are, you know, in the role of driver. And what we looked at was it's super fragmented. So the average trucking company has about 3 trucks. I did the math. I added up the number of trucks that are owned by the top 20 trucking companies. It was about 12% of the total fleet. So very, very fragmented. There are about 100,000 companies that ship truckloads of freight around the country. And there are about 15,000 to 18,000 freight brokers that are helping those truck drivers find jobs and match those jobs up with those shippers. And it's like a trading model where you buy and sell capacity as a broker. And so you know, what Convoy does is we are changing how it works. And we've in the role of broker, we're orchestrating a much more efficient trucking system. And so our primary customers are the top kind of name brand shippers in the country, Procter & Gamble, Kraft, Niagara Water, Costco, Target, you know, Shell Oil, et cetera. They hire Convoy to move their freight. We do so through a network of 60, 70,000 small trucking companies on our platform using our app. We orchestrate them. So we're creating round trips and backhauls, getting them the most efficient job. We create an auction system to do price discovery and understand where the market is. And we effectively clear and create this market for trucking. And then we take principal risk in the transaction and we're responsible for the fulfillment of the job. So Procter & Gamble came in this week, actually talked to us. They said, hey, you know, we were able to take share from our competitors on shelves over the last year, in a big part because you guys helped us deliver stuff faster. And if we deliver faster and we're more in stock and on time, then we get more share. So it's like a great testament. We're doing, you know, a really significant portion of their trucking now. Similar with Niagara, that's expanded really fast. We're one of their biggest trucking partners. We won their carrier of the year, I think, two or three times in a row now. And what we've been able to do is go from being a broker that is considered, you know, the broker gets some of the leftovers or some of the transactional spot freight. And we're not really in that category anymore. We operate our own fleet of trailers. We have a trailer pool. We have such visibility and connectivity into the truck drivers on our app that our customers have now put us in a new category, which is really cool, where effectively we get to compete for all the freight that asset-based carriers would compete with. We compete with dedicated carriers. So it turns out that a robust, healthy network is actually higher quality of service than dedicating a truck and a driver to a job, because something can happen with that truck and driver sometimes, but a network is very resilient. So we've actually been able to do that business as well. And we've become a first-class kind of national trucking company now for shippers, and we do it in a more efficient, kind of higher visibility, higher data way. Last thing I'll say is we just recently announced this. We've gotten that platform to a point where it's now big enough and robust enough, and it's the only platform that has a totally digital supply side. So all the carriers and drivers use the app. There's nobody else right now in the country that does that anywhere close to what we're doing from an adoption perspective. So now we open it up to other brokers. So our competitors, other brokerages are now able to run on our platform. We recently launched that. We've had a huge amount, I think 150 inbound leads came in the first week of other brokers wanting to use the Convoy platform to find capacity and find trucks that are on a digital network. So we're opening it up. We've started building, you know, fuel card, financial services for truck drivers. There's a whole bunch of businesses on top of that core trucking business that we built, but that's what Convoy does. We're providing freight transportation solutions for shippers, and then we're building business on top of that, marketplaces and services around that.
That's fantastic. Dan, so first of all, I heard the description. I've heard you say this before. It sounds incredibly complicated. Is that fair? And I think that that's what got you going, leaving Amazon. You wanted to tackle a really complicated market. So let's talk about HP. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's fine. I left Amazon because I wanted to do three things. One, I wanted to be part of a story. Like I honestly, as a personal goal of mine, I wanted to be part of a growth stage, kind of interesting story and create a really, like, be. It's more interesting to work on that. And I looked around at the time, I didn't really see any growth stage companies in the Seattle area. There were several in the Bay Area I could have gone and joined, and I used to live in the Bay Area, but there were none in Seattle really that where the right role was there and there were the right things. So I went and started something. But I love the idea of marketplaces, studied marketplaces in depth over the last several, like before starting Convoy. And I also love the idea of a business that could start out as linear and grow linearly, but later become nonlinear. I started this business, you know, my wife's not working. I had two kids, didn't have a ton of money saved up. I was like, how do I create a startup that has an extremely high chance of success? And I realized that one option to do that is to think about a business where it's much less about luck. It's really about spending time with each of the participants and explaining them the value and creating value for them. But because it's so commoditized, in the future, it can become a nonlinear, completely digital growth business. And trucking is that. It's a B2B brokerage. So you can spend a bunch of time up front talking to every truck driver, every shipper, get the flywheel going, learn the mechanics. But trucking is a commoditized enough industry that you can then automate it in the future. So it becomes very, very scalable in a nonlinear way. And that was actually a big part of why I thought it was such a cool space. I saw the opportunity for very high chance of getting it off the ground with the right discipline, but also extremely nonlinear growth through, you know, the core and adjacent businesses in the future.
So Dan, this is a good segue into understanding just how the industry works. So you described that in your early kind of like, what is Convoy? But talk us about the business today. Like today, if you're a shipper, you need to get your product from point A to point B. How do you do it? Like, what is the process today? And help us walk us through the unit economics of the model today. If I were Niagara Water, which is one of your biggest customers, what were they doing before Convoy became Convoy? And what do you provide for them? Help us talk about the past and the current, that we can talk about the future after.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I'll kind of talk about pre-Convoy and then things we've built as we've developed it. Because now the industry is, you know, there are a lot of fast followers out there as well. So the way these big companies would procure freight is that they would say, okay, what are the lanes I think I'm going to be running freight on next year? And there's 400 lanes across the country. It could be freight around the LA area. It could be freight between LA and Dallas. Like, what are the lanes I'm going to run freight on? About how many loads am I going to be running per week over the next year? What is my estimate there, my forecast? I'm going to do an RFP. It's going to take 6 months. I'm going to go out there and do this RFP with dozens or 100 plus trucking companies and get all of them to give me bids on the lanes they want. Collect all those rates, go back and negotiate and discuss with them, get them to agree on a rate for the year at a certain volume level. And there's a bunch of categories. Some of that I'm going to have them leave preloaded trailers in my yard so I can load those trailers in advance. Some of them I'll load the trailers when they show up. So different kinds of scenarios, all this stuff, they'll put it in the RFP. 6 months later, it's done after a bunch of negotiations. The carriers start running the load. Inevitably, the shipper was wrong. They didn't know how much freight they were going to need in each of these lanes. They need more in some, less in others. A new store opens somewhere, they have to deliver to that store. A store closes, they don't deliver there anymore. So their volume changes significantly throughout the year. The market also changes. Truck rates are very volatile. They're up 100% from 2 years ago on a lot of lanes. So what then happens is the transportation providers say, well, I did agree to this for a year, but I'm not going to do it anymore. And so they stop accepting the freight. And the shipper is sending this freight out. It's tendering the freight out to the carriers that said they would do it in this RFP. The carrier or ship or broker receives it and says, I don't want to do it anymore. It falls down what's called the routing guide. It goes from the primary provider, who is the one who said they would do it, to a bunch of backups. All the backups have an option if they want to take it or not. And if none of the backups take it, at whatever rate they gave a year ago, it goes into the spot market for an auction. And it gets picked up in the spot market and somebody does that job for the shipper. But they have redundancy upon redundancy upon redundancy to make sure somebody actually moves the freight, because they have to move that freight to their customer. And because the world's always changing, all these contracts generally just fall apart within a few months, or they're not honored. And that was exaggerated during the last 2 years. So that's how it worked before. And then when the trucking companies were doing this work, there wasn't visibility. There was no system for the shipper to see where the truck was. So they didn't know where the truck was. And there was no efficient system to book an appointment. So you might have a 60-mile job, but the appointment's not for 12 hours. The truck sits there and waits for 10 hours. So these super inefficient system as you're trying to kind of aggregate this all together. What Convoy did is it put all the trucks on a grid and on a map so we could see them all in real time immediately. We built a bunch of technologies that would figure out what is the right optimal appointment time for every kind of job. And then we'd work with our customers to get preferential access or digital access to be able to add those appointment times. That's still a hard thing to do, but we started working on that. We then also created a bunch at each levels of this contracting, the primary provider, the backup, the spot market. We operate with the traditional model, but we also created better new innovative products at each of those levels. And that's why our customers love us. So we said, okay, we're going to have a flexible universal trailer pool. So what happens is if somebody wants to have a highly efficient model, let's say it's Unilever producing goods and they're going to ship to a bunch of retail stores, they want to preload trailers, put them in the yard and have the trucks roll and grab the preload trailer and leave. You don't have to load when the truck shows up. It's faster, more efficient. You can keep the stuff loading the trailers waiting and it's off your dock. It's out of your warehouse. You don't bottleneck everything. But that's super rigid because you have to tell a carrier, I need you to do this many loads, have this many trailers available for me. And the carrier's like, great, I'll put those trailers there, but I'm not going to flex up. I'm not going to flex down. It's pretty rigid. And the shippers get kind of stuck because they don't know how to do this. We created what's called a universal trailer pool. We have a convoy managed trailer pool. We make it available to any carrier in our network. We also have a system, a technology system that predicts where the trailers will be needed and has a rent back system, and it will find jobs to help other carriers move those trailers around. So we were able to create a very flexible trailer pool. Whereas others could only flex up or down by 5%, we can flex up or down 30, 50%. And we can do more or less for that shipper. We can also do spot market and transactional loads preloaded onto trailers. We can get those trailers there, and we have a whole system for doing that. No one had ever done that before. That is a super premium product. You know, the margins are probably twice as good as the rest of the business. You know, it's very unique to what we're building. It's very hard to build if you don't have a technology system with all these trucks on the grid, on the network, and nobody has that right now. So that's what shipper, like, that's sold out all the time. I can't get enough trailers. If somebody knows how to give me trailers, like, help me. So that's like an example of what's different. It's just a better, more flexible system. And shippers need flexibility because they can't actually predict their needs. So whenever they get into these kind of like fixed situations with their carriers, it's frustrating for them. Another example is, got to set a price for a year. That's hard. Those prices fall apart. Rates change all the time. And people like back out of their contracts, or they just stop accepting the freight. So what we did is we said, okay, we're going to create a system. We'll do that if you want, but we have this other thing called guaranteed primary, which is we will always have a truck available for you on these primary lanes. We'll get better and more efficient over time. We'll show you the underlying costs. We'll have a fixed margin, so we won't take advantage of you, but we'll use technology to float the rate in your system throughout the year. We have a system that can write in new rates. And if you're willing to accept a floating rate, we'll give you all the benefits of contract, commitment, guarantee, et cetera. And other people couldn't do that because they didn't have a technology system that could build a floating rate in real time. They had to have a person work on it for 3 months to figure out what the rate would be. So like that floating contract rate system we built, that gives our customers the ability to have the same benefits of contract freight, super high reliability, always there for them, get to know the same trucking company, everything, but with a rate that can float real time for that contract piece. Again, nobody had really built something like that before. And you know, even the backup. So the primary provider doesn't take the job, goes down the tree to the backup provider. That rate was fixed for a year. Whatever you bid in that RFP, that's your backup rate for the year. It would never change because nobody knew how to go in there and change it. We built a technology system called Dynamic Backup, goes and inserts new backup rates. We've actually built a really creative way to do that so that when their carrier fails to take the job, which happens all the time, Convoy is there with a real-time price that they can get, and it saves them several hours of waiting it to go through that routing guide and the backup guide. They can just say yes to Convoy right away. So we save them a bunch of time in getting a truck locked. Getting a little bit in the weeds, but those are examples of real kind of like procurement operational things we've done that are different. In addition to having just real-time visibility of every truck, analytics, data reporting, stuff like that, that they just aren't used to from their trucking companies. So it's been really fun. I mean, we've created really strong value at like the operational layer and the procurement layer for these companies, in addition to, you know, having this robust visible fleet.
Well, I know, Dan, we've been on this journey for, I want to say 5, maybe 6 years right now. Is that fair?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things in life where you and your team, and I want to talk about your team in a minute, have just put in so much effort throwing out product after product after product. And part of the reason we invested in you in this round is we just saw the compounding effect of all the product improvements and all the kind of different strategies by layer of what your shippers want finally come to fruition over the last 12 months, when it felt like you really came onto your own and kind of are seeing just incredible growth rates and adoption curves. So first of all, walk me through your team. You know, one of my beliefs is, you know, talent density drives companies. And I've just seen that you've assembled a world-class team. So talk to me about the team you've assembled. And you talked about fast followers for a minute. Walk me through who the fast followers are and what, how do you attract some of the best people in the Seattle area to work for Convoy? And walk me through why is it that that talent density cannot be replicated by either incumbents or by fast followers?
Yeah. So over the last 2 years, we have changed out, you know, effectively the whole management team. One or two people that are still on the senior leadership team that were there before, but there's been a lot of change and adjustment. And, you know, we had great people at Convoy since the beginning, but most of these changes have been significant improvements from an experience and kind of scope of responsibility and history coming into the company perspective. So I'm really proud of that. And I feel great about it. When I was starting Convoy, one of our, you know, first investors was Bezos. And I had a chance to talk to him. He's obviously had built and Wilkie, a big company with Amazon. And I remember one thing he said I did not understand at all as an early founder was, you're going to hit a point where you need to get to the next level and you're going to spend a year and a half or 2 years just hiring. I remember thinking that I'm not going to spend a year and a half, 2 years just hiring. That doesn't make any sense. And he's like, lean into it when it happens. Just lean into it. That's how that's going to matter. That's exactly what happened over the last 2 years. Like, we hit that point and we had a bunch of different like areas that we needed to really kind of stretch and improve as a company. So the way we hire people, we've hired, I think, just really fantastic, and I can give the names, like some great leadership, super strong cross-functional technical leadership out of Amazon. Mark Okerstrom is an incredible operator and financial mind and just operator, came in as our president. You know, we've hired some folks who are just super, super capable on each of the different functions. And we just have a new really strong operations and kind of customer service leader come in who's just done this at Amazon, Expedia, other companies, and just, I think it's going to be really fantastic. So a lot of like improvement. I'm not going to go to the list. The key thing I found for getting people that want to come do this is painting a story around all of the opportunity in this space and why it matters. Like, one of our values is know why. Like, why does this actually matter? It matters for the planet. Like, there's a huge amount of waste in trucking. The capacity shortage is more about inefficiency than it is about a lack of drivers. And the inefficiency is real, and it drives a lot of empty miles, wait time at facilities, and a lot of unnecessary fuel burned. So a lot of people care deeply that the work they're doing every day impacts something beyond just their own personal bottom line. Like, there's a lot of options out there. So why not spend my time doing that? That has been really important. Another one is, you know, we're gonna have a leadership team that operates as one team, and we're gonna have a story around it. When someone joins, I'm like, look, the most important, like, you're gonna have great people on your team, but this team you're part of is your first team. And like, here's the story we're on, here's the journey, here's our mission, here's what we're trying to do. This is the narrative of the industry. This is what's happened, this is where it's going. And we get to play like a key role in the disruption of one of the biggest, most interesting, most topical industries in the world right now, which is supply chain. And for a long time, there was not a lot of disruption, not a lot of technology pushing into supply chain, especially in trucking. When we started, we were kind of kicking that off. And so, you know, especially because visibility was there. Prior to 2015, truck drivers didn't have smartphones. There is no financially feasible or logistically feasible way to get every truck driver in the country a device in their truck prior to smartphones. An independent driver with two trucks running around the country doesn't want you to mail them a GPS unit. They're not going to install it. They're not going to use it. They don't want seven from all the brokers they work with. So that was just not even feasible. They had to have that equipment. That didn't exist. They didn't have smartphones until the free phone at AT&T and Verizon was a smartphone on Android or iOS, which was about 2015. So this was totally a greenfield opportunity. It just wasn't even possible to do this in trucking. And so we can paint that picture of, this is the moment in time. This is going to change. Hundreds of billions of dollars that has been spent on offline, you know, people calling, emailing, faxing to get the information around traditional boiler room sales models that are kind of like zero-sum game, short-term thinking, trucking solutions that are very one or the other. It's either a totally flexible brokerage or a totally rigid carrier. That whole model that's been the traditional way has worked brilliantly, but there's a better way. Like, it's worked. We all get the stuff we need and we have historically, but there's a much better way. There's a lot of pain we can remove. That was not even possible before. So that's how we sell people. I mean, it's the time for this to happen. That is, whether Convoy's here or not, hundreds of billions of dollars is going to shift from the old way to the new way over the next decade. That's just where trucking is going. And so why not help write that story and make this happen? And that's like, people are excited about being part of stories. That's what they want to spend their time on if they're operators. And they want to feel like they can be part of the narrative of the industry. Like, we look back and say, how did supply chain get improved? How did trucking change over the last, you know, during its time of like renaissance or revolution? It's because the technology changed to make it possible, and some disruptive companies got fired up and built like that storyline for the industry. And, you know, anyway, that's what we're doing. People get pumped about that.
So Dan, I'll quantify this a little bit more, because clearly our tech industry, we all know the big top line number, $700 billion or so, Centria Freight. Walk us through the profit pools that are in the old archaic industry, so which is what got you guys excited. And let's talk about the future. What is your economic model? How do you guys make money?
Yeah. So let's look at, there are a lot of models, but the core brokerage model is a model where you make money on the spread. So historically, brokerages have had a spread anywhere from maybe 15 to 18%. Somewhere in the 2025 range, somewhere a little bit lower that we're doing maybe more long haul, but that kind of take rate on the spread. And they would buy and sell trucking capacity, and that's what they kept. And so an average was 18% about when we were starting Convoy. So that's really historically where it's been. And when we started, we adopted that same model, the same spread model, because it was the fastest, cleanest way to get into the industry. Additional areas are, you know, additional ways for, well, there's additional ways that other companies make money. Every carrier needs a bunch of services. They need a bunch of equipment and a bunch of services. So there's a bunch of equipment and services providers that are offering those to truck drivers and small trucking companies to help them run their business and operate their business. There are some virtual fleets doing that today. There are a bunch of other service providers that have those tools and services, and, you know, carriers are willing to pay for that. And so there's direct monetization of carriers and the carrier experience. And then other ways people have made money over the years is through data and software for shippers that help shippers run their procurement processes, track and manage trucks, you know, make buying decisions, try to make efficiency decisions on how they operate their warehouse and do inventory planning. So those are ways people have made a lot of money historically. And, you know, when we look at what Convoy can do, we started with that spread model. As I mentioned, we are now saying, because we have a completely online network of trucks, tens of thousands of trucking companies, hundreds of thousands of trucks that are engaged, other 3PLs can put their loads into Convoy, create more density and volume in our network. That actually helps us achieve our mission, creates density and reduces waste in our network. It helps them find trucks. They don't have a digital network. They don't have the resources to build this technology platform. And so, something beeping in my house. They don't have the resources to apply this technology to build this technology platform. So they're using Convoys, and it's better for them. They can find a truck that's more attractive, lower cost, that's using technology through the Convoy platform than they could just by calling around. When we do that, we can take a fee or a spread on that transaction with no principal risk and no downstream operating cost. So it's a higher margin business. We can go to our carriers because they think of us as their provider. We're not just a thin marketplace for them. We are their partner in trucking. They get their freight from Convoy. We pay them. And so they'll work with us on credit services, fuel services, things like that. There's other businesses that are really interesting that we can start building. And you have to have that trust and relationship to do that. And so, you know, when I think about all the opportunities to make money, we have our core approach, and we believe that that will be very successful. But we also believe there's a lot of additional businesses that operate maybe more like traditional marketplaces that have a fee structure, or software businesses that that have very high margins.
To the extent you're willing to speak about it on this open forum, Dan, give us a sense of the financial or operating scale of your business right now.
Yeah. So we are doing, you know, if you kind of look at the overall, the kind of revenue run rate of the business, I'll think of what I want to share. You know, it'll be, it's around or over, you know, $1 billion on an annualized basis coming next year. We've grown about, I think revenue grew 45-50% this year. Depends on exactly when you're looking at the time frame. And we have about 1,000 employees. And you know, most of our business today comes from enterprise customers. So we kind of look at our customer base, several hundred customers, but there's, you know, 50 to 100 really large ones that we have a very small percentage of their wallet today. So we're looking to, we think there's a huge opportunity to grow a lot just through existing customers and build that up. And that's probably, yeah, that's probably the right thing, right level to share at.
Yeah,
and our margins have expanded. I'll also say our margins have expanded really significantly in the last 6 months.
Yeah, that's I think what we got excited about. And just to correct, I don't want to correct you, but I will. The 45 to 50% is actually on the full annual basis. But if you look at the most recent quarter, it is multiples of that, which is exciting. So you're actually accelerating scale, which is good to see.
Yeah, I think and the, you know, the margin stuff's interesting. People have said, well, isn't it really easy because freight's hot? And it's like, well, yes, but we're trading freight. So our cost structure has gone up significantly. And so we always are taking that spread in the market. So it's actually historically hard for us to expand margins when truck rates are going up. And truck rates have gone up in a way that we've never seen before. I mean, they've gone up for now, I think, 16 months or 18 months straight, which never really happens. And they're, you know, if you look over the last 18, 24 months, like they're up in many cases over 100%. When you have those contract positions I mentioned earlier, and you're part of the RFP process, that can put a lot of strain on the economics because you're effectively setting rates. And so that's where we had to be really innovative in terms of managing our risk and changing our freight portfolio and creating new programs that de-risk it for us as the market is volatile. And ultimately, you know, shippers appreciate that because while they would love to lock a rate in for a year, because it never happens, they end up in a much worse place because people walk away from them. So it's about finding the right balance, not just being rigid.
Well, let's talk about the case study you talked about having, and I know the case study of Niagara Water, but pick any customer you want to. Talk about the journey with the customer. What happens on day one? How do you even procure the customer? We know why they work with you, but once they've signed an initial contract, walk us through how the cohorts look like within that customer base.
Yeah. Yeah, let me walk through some examples. And there are, you know, you can imagine that how this works is different today than it was 3 years ago as well, because the customer views us differently today. But Home Depot is a good example. I'll keep it high level because I'm using a specific customer. But when we first started working with Home Depot, they had in their minds the idea that they wanted to understand this new digital freight space and digital broker space. And so they put us in the category with the other kind of new digital players, and they had kind of a small amount of freight available for those players to compete for. And it was some of the kind of, I think what the industry would have called the leftovers or kind of like parts of the business that other people weren't necessarily serving as directly, but they're like, hey, see if you can help us out here. And there's like this small portion of their freight. And we started doing that. And, you know, the way in the first year working with them, it was getting to know them, building trust, building that relationship. And it was about how do we break out of just being part of this kind of spot transactional niche business that they've carved out to learn a little bit about us. And the approach we used was we did two things. One, we said, hey, we can actually start doing your contract freight. And we showed them in certain markets the data. We actually showed them, here's what our trucking capacity looks like. Here's how many bids we get per job. Here's how, like, we have a lot of reliable capacity in these areas. So you can think of us not only as this broker that can do one-off things, we have a lot of reliable, consistent capacity in these markets. And so if you work with us, we can come through on that. And because in many cases, the on-time to delivery and the tracking was better and the visibility was better, that helped. The second thing we did to accelerate the process of them growing us within their businesses, we started doing a bunch of analytics on our data. No other trucking companies were capturing data for every job, hundreds of data points, because we would capture everything from when they tendered the freight to us, all the things that happened since then, how many, you know, bids we got, finding a truck, the rate, geofencing every location, checking along the way, the final outcomes, et cetera. And you can correlate those and say, well, if we did this way, if you tendered the freight to us this many hours in advance, or in the morning and at an appointment time here, the rates go down by this much. You can sort of see how the marketplace is working. We went back and showed our customers this, that here's how the marketplace works. Here's where you're doing as well or worse than your competitors. Turns out in your neighborhood where your warehouse is, there's 10 other warehouses that we work with. And you guys are number 4 out of the 10. Here's why. And if you did these things, your costs would go down to here because that's what everybody else gets because they do that. And we were able to do these comparative analyses. They'd never seen that. So we're able to show them not only could we actually have reliable capacity, we could actually learn and help them improve in their business. So then we graduated from niche to like, okay, we're gonna let you start competing with our other providers that you're now talking about. And you know, year 2 is about demonstrating we could provide a consistent capacity for them in a contracted scenario. And then it kind of tipped and they're like, okay, well, we now see you as, you know, we trust what you're doing. You now have a trailer pool. It's flexible. We've never had this flexible trailer pool. We are going to now open 100% of our freight to you. And you're now in your own category. We don't even put you in a category of brokers or asset carriers. We used to compare you with them. Now you're in your own complete category of everything's available. You know, work with you on a dedicated basis, on a trailer basis, whatever. And like, you know, the pie is open. This is just sort of the flavor of the discussion over time with our customers. And that historically took a couple of years, right? Even 3 years in some cases with these customers to get to the point where you would prove to them through the experience that what you're doing is different and better. They have to see it. Unlike a lot of businesses, let's say you're selling Salesforce to somebody. That person is looking at their option set and choosing Salesforce and then effectively adopting Salesforce as their one solution for all of their employees and rolling it out. And so they do a lot of upfront work to make sure it's the right decision. But once they've made the decision, they're really committed and it's like embedded in their business. Trucking's very different. They work with dozens, even 100 trucking providers sometimes. So the getting in the door and getting that first business is actually not that hard. It's about getting them to choose to grow and make you a strategic partner and adopt you later. So the key is not like the upfront sales getting in the door, but it's really about the next year or two of proving yourself and then them adopting you as a strategic partner. Now that we've done this with 10 companies, we expect to be able to accelerate this significantly. And we're already seeing that where the references, the word of mouth, the person leaves one company, goes to another company and tells everyone what it's like. We don't have to go through that proving ground as much now. But it still is a cycle of getting someone to change how they thought about the world from, I always thought brokers were over here in this little category, and now I'm going to actually let you compete for the whole pie. That has been the journey that has just started. In the last year, we've seen that change. That's why I'm so optimistic we can grow pretty significantly a lot of our existing customers because we're now being put into a different category.
That's the entire point, Dad. It's the multiple compounding effect. One is years of product development finally kind of bursting forth. And then years of what I call building a reputation, which is also now bursting forth. So it did happen overnight. Like I know that it's been a painful journey. You know, something on everybody's mind right now, especially with Uber and Amazon. Well, Amazon, well, talking about being the biggest kind of shipper in America, maybe the world. And then with Uber making a fair bit of noise on their freight business. And then talking about all the publicly listed freight brokers in the world, like C.H. Robinson, kind of walk us through the competitive set. And, you know, first start with the old industry, what you think of them and why or why not they may or may not succeed. And then talk about kind of like, what is Amazon doing and what is Uber doing specifically and whether they are, does that keep you awake at night?
Yeah. Great. This is a great question. So let's kind of frame it up. The largest provider of truckload services in the United States has a few percent of the market. So, you know, I was talking to somebody who was at Azure recently. I was interviewing them. And I realized the way they were approaching the interview, they think about competition every day. They spend half their day thinking about what is Google doing and what is Amazon doing? What is AWS doing? And that's an orientation that happens when you're in a very concentrated market where there are only a few players and everything you do is sized and compared to those other one or two players, and you end up becoming a very competitive focused culture. That also happens in new categories that are created. So Uber and Lyft kind of created, obviously taxis existed, but they kind of created this new category. And then it became, you know, the Uber Lyft show and maybe anybody else could get in, but it was very much like, it was like a small set of competitors and everything would go to those set of competitors from a share perspective. Trucking is completely different. There is no behemoth. There are some companies that have significant, you know, volume, but again, they're very small in the overall market. And so I just want to share that with everybody because we don't, because of that dynamic, and because there's so much spend in this industry, almost all of our energy goes into what does the customer need? How do I serve my customer? What am I doing for my customer today? How can I make their life better? And we're going to get more business from them. And it's rare that we end up being like limited based on other digital providers, right? I don't think ever I've had a conversation with a customer where they said, not sure, like I'm looking at Amazon and I'm wondering how I'm going to divide the pie between you and Amazon. Maybe once, but I actually can't remember that ever happening. Sometimes they'll say like, well, C.H. Robinson's on this lane or JB's on this lane or TQL or Coyote or Navis, you know, like, Schneider, you know, XPO, they're here, or this other broker, NFI, like I'm working with these guys and like, how do I want to see how I fit in? And I'm really trying to figure it out. Like those conversations with the traditional folks, but it's such a big market. It's so fragmented. It's about customer value, not about understanding how to like, and creating clear customer value as a leader for that customer in the way you innovate, think, and move the industry forward versus obsessing over how you position against other competitors. Cause they don't really ask that much. They're just trying to like solve their problems. Anyway, I wanted to share that because I found that was really unique to come to industries like this versus industries that are oligopolies of a few leaders or new industries with a couple of new players that are inventing an entirely new category. It becomes very zero sum. It's not trucking. So within that, the companies I compete with on a daily basis are the ones I just mentioned. Other big freight brokers and asset-based carriers. That is the 98% of like the conversations with my customers and what they're thinking about. Then there also are new companies. There's some new digital providers. And then there's some of the bigger ones like Amazon Freight and Uber Freight. And I won't get into the legacy and history there. I have deep legacy ties with both of those projects, which is really some interesting stories for over a beer sometime. They're very different. You know, I would say for a long time, I was thinking more of Uber as an innovative competitor. They're still doing some interesting things. They announced, you know, but they're doing a lot of positioning now, you can see, of what their announcements are. And so what I found, actually, let me step back. When we work with our customers, if they're working with Uber, which that is one I do see, that's better. That means they're going to do a lot of work with Convoy because they're starting to like, they want to try. And then we can prove that we're better or we can prove that we're the same. But there's so much share that they're giving to everybody else. It's not like Convoy and Uber are vying over some small portion of share. It's we're both like taking share within their business and they're excited about the new wave, right? So it's actually not like the customer doesn't think of it as like, am I going to go with Uber or Convoy typically? They might balance it a little bit, but especially once you're in there, it's not like that. But their approach has been a bit different. The biggest difference historically has been when they, you know, I'm not going to do tons of detail, but like when they were starting not from a position of every carrier needs to use our technology and we're going to create a completely robust like carrier marketplace on an app and on a technology platform. That came later for them. That was not their founding story and that was not the first few years. The founding story was, how do I grow top line as fast as humanly possible because my bonus is tied to top line revenue growth of the freight business with an Uber before Uber IPO'd under Travis in 2018, which never happened. That was the origin of the freight business. It was a third pillar to show growth, not with no tech, but nobody would have ever checked if there was tech or not. Later, they built a bunch of tech, which they've now done that, and that's great. And, you know, it's a business that didn't had a different like origin story and different growth story. So I look at them and I kind of think of them as a complementary partner to us in the ecosystem that drives a lot of interest. I like customers that are excited about them because it means they're gonna be excited about Convoy and it gives us a foot in the door and vice versa probably. But it's not something I feel like I need to position against constantly with my customers. You know, and over time, we'll need to take a look at it. They made a pretty big move to close the EBITDA gap by acquiring a company like Transplace that had like effectively their, you know, burn was, I think Transplace's EBITDA. So that makes sense. You know, I think that'll also be a challenging like operational integration to work on if you're trying to be an innovative, fast-moving tech company. Because I believe that the number of employees that the other company has is greater. And it's sort of just a big challenge. Gives it more volume. We're keeping an eye on it, but I don't think it actually made any strategic differences. No customers ever asked me about how, like what we're doing there or how that's going to change anything. It's never come up in a customer discussion. when it comes to Amazon, I think I was asked this question first in like 2016, is Amazon going to do this someday? And I think my answer was, the answer is always yes to that question, because of course Amazon's going to do it someday. Like, ask me any business, are you worried about Amazon doing it someday? The answer should be yes, because they probably will do it someday. So that's the culture of the company. They certainly have gotten the freight space. Again, I don't see it as, it's not something that comes up again in conversations with our customers. I know that they're building a business around this. I could get into all the reasons why they're doing it. Fundamentally, it started because they wanted to have a way to have additional capacity for their own business. And they wanted their carriers to be on an app. They tried to build an app and ask their carriers to use that app, the large carriers. And for a very long time, the large carriers were not interested in using the app because they don't, I knew that going in that they wouldn't use it because they don't want an app on their driver's phones, the large ones. So then they said, okay, it's not working. Let's build this app and put it on a bunch of small carriers. And now they're building kind of a business around that. And I think it's going to give them flexibility. I think it's actually a super smart move. They need to have their own supply chain to deliver their own goods highly in a highly reliable way with visibility. And they couldn't get visibility from their providers. Like the big trucking companies and brokers they work with don't have like a great data-driven visibility platform for Amazon. Amazon standards are high and they want that. They basically want the world to look like Convoy. And if they could get that, you know, that's what they want. They want that experience. And so they're trying to find ways to, you know, find driver pools that'll use a piece of technology on their phone so they can have visibility into what's going on and operate their business better. And one of the ways you do that in a viable way is you have that group of carriers also do work for others to kind of balance things out throughout the year and make sure that carrier group's available for your surge times. But anyway, I'm getting a little bit long-winded on this answer, but like neither one of them are companies we spend a lot of time worrying about. We watch what they do, we pay attention, but it's not something our customers are asking us about. And it's not the thing that's going to make it or break it for Convoy in the next 5 to 10 years. It's going to make it break it for us is if we execute really well and we build value for customers against the traditional incumbents.
Let's talk about the next 5 years for Convoy. What are your personal goals and what are your goals for the company?
Yeah.
And will you be public one day? It's a question on everybody's mind in this forum.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've never run a publicly traded company. I don't know exactly what will happen, but when I think about it, I do think there are a bunch of really good reasons why Convoy should be public. Despite a lot of my friends saying it's a very painful place to be, but like I think there's a lot of reasons for in this industry to do it. I think there's a lot of reasons for our employees. And I think it's really healthy from a compensation and incentive and alignment perspective. Our customers, our traditional businesses, they look at that. They ask us that as well. That is something they're curious about. You know, they believe that is a sign of stability and long-term viability. And so in our business, it actually makes a difference for how our customers think about and view us and our carrier partners. And I think it provides access to capital for deals. And I can see, as I look at the industry evolving, we've never done an acquisition. But I now can see like the future more clearly about where I want to take this. And I can see pieces of other companies coming together around that or other deals. And so I think it provides that currency and opportunity. And I also think we have the leadership team to do it now. Like if we want to go do it, we've brought in, you know, again, I mentioned Mark Okerstrom has a lot of experience running and operating publicly traded companies. You know, our general counsel has done this several times. You know, we have a pretty mature senior leadership team at this point. And we've built a lot of things that make our systems much more rigorous internally. So I think it's probably the right path. I want to realize the potential and opportunity of the company. I think that is probably one of the ways to go do that. That's probably part of the formula for achieving the potential of what Convoy can be is becoming publicly traded.
On that topic though, the one point I would say is as long as, so I know a lot of your friends probably are a little gun shy going public, but I think going public is an absolutely wonderful idea for a variety of reasons we've talked about before, and you understand that. But yeah. It's just about, I think, it gives you the flexibility, the credibility, and frankly, it puts you in, you know, you're one of the big boys then, right? And, you know, despite what a lot of private investors may tell you, the public markets are actually very forward-looking and will give you stretched valuations, maybe a little bit of correction here and there, but the technology public markets, if you execute, are willing to give you 3-4 years of runway and valuation ahead of what you deserve. So for what it's worth. Go public.
No, I think it's, I mean, it's something that I do, and we're, you know, we're doing some stuff internally to make sure that when the time is right, like we are in a position where we can do that.
That's amazing. But outside of going public, Dan, if we talk again in 2025, what do you think the scale and the position of Convoy would be within the trucking ecosystem?
I mean, I think that, honestly, I think the way our customers think about procuring and managing freight and the flexibility they have and the level of confidence they have in their partners will be unrecognizable from where it was to even today or a couple of years ago. Like right now, the reason that these companies have 100 trucking providers and have 90 levels of redundancy is because they don't have confidence that their partners will come through and have the flexibility to deliver for them, because every partner has one specialty thing they do in one area and they can't flex and they can't operate, you know, that at the same scale. It's very hard to operate that way with like offline systems and traditional processes. When you use technology and you have a network of trucks that are plugged in, you can do things faster at scale, more reliably, and you can offer better visibility and planning with your customers, and you can give them data to help them improve. So like it's gonna be a partnership-based experience where they don't have to have 50 to 100 trucking partners. They can have a few. And we will be able to offer them flexibility through a range of market scenarios and freight scenarios that will make it so they don't have to worry about managing all of their providers to make sure they're covered. And that's something that really exists today, is this fear of not being able to get trucking capacity and not being able to manage it, because it's a very like... inconsistent business. So I think it will be unrecognizable. I think Convoy will be, I think, you know, we'll be like by far, my goal is the strongest, most healthy, you know, most viable trucking option in the country, where, you know, there will be others. There are gonna be lots of other trucking companies, but like people will look at Convoy as that solution that lets them kind of set it and forget it more than ever before. And part of that is the transparency we're offering, the visibility, the reporting, just to build confidence and trust. We're not going to jerk you around. We're not going to try to always kind of screw you for that extra margin this today, which is how most of the compensation structures work. We're going to build like a really good partnership that actually is flexible to your needs and has clarity around what we're charging you. So anyway, that's where we're going with it. And our customers are so excited about that. Like they want to not have to stress about this all the time. One of the investors I was talking to was saying, you know, but don't shippers never give their carriers more than 5 or 10% of their business? I'm like, yeah, but what's the first principle before that? Why is that? It's not like good for them. It's not easier to have 50 vendors in the same category. That's a lot of work. It's super hard. It's because they don't have confidence. So we're fixing that.
It's total content. Now we've got 7 minutes more left. So I want to talk about one topic you tweeted about recently, which is your view on, how self-driving and automated trucks kind of come about. And you had a proposal for team tagging, which I thought was super interesting. So why don't you talk about that little tweet you put out yesterday? Yeah. What prompted that? And what's on your mind then?
I think the prompt is I get asked all the time about self-driving. I've thought about it for years. There was a period 4 or 5 years ago where it was a much hotter topic even. Like it was still important today, but it was kind of this big exploding topic. And what I've realized is there are companies working on it that a lot of folks in the technology world, or maybe in worlds that don't understand the day-to-day operations of trucking and how it works, tend to have these models in their head of how it self-driving should roll out that I think are theoretically great. They provide a lot of benefits, but they're not practical and they actually won't work. And if regulators are sitting around thinking about, you know, Biden's new administration, thinking about how are we going to make laws or different states for self-driving, if we don't include certain scenarios and we don't solve for certain scenarios, I think we'll end up in a situation where the theorists were able to drive like some regulatory outcomes that result in a very suboptimal operating environment for self-driving, and you won't see the benefits because it'll be too hard to make it happen. I'll give a couple examples. And the thing to share with everybody, basically the two models are, assume that self-driving trucks can operate on the highway before they can operate on like back roads and city streets and stuff like that. That's pretty much a given at this point, that that's where it would happen successfully first. Take a 1,000-mile job. One approach is a local driver brings the trailer to a transfer station. Self-driving truck picks up that trailer, runs it on the highway portion with no driver in it, gets to another local hub outside of the destination region or metro where a local driver picks it up and delivers it. And that's the one that gets talked about, at least in my experience, all the time. I'm constantly like told that's how this is going to happen. And I'm pitched that that's what's going to happen. But I think that is actually a very hard way to do it first. And offline, I've gotten a ton of responses that agree with me on this. Like I've gotten a lot of messages from people in trucking that are like, yeah, that thing that I just described, that will happen someday, but it's really hard to do that one first. Theoretically, it sounds right because you're like, it's self-driving. You shouldn't have a driver in there. If you have a driver in there, you'll have to pay them and it'll like slow things down. You actually incur, I think, more cost by not having the driver in there. The model I think that would work is today you have this human-to-human tag team model that actually already exists. It's a team driver model where one person is driving, then they stop driving, the other person takes over and they go in the back and they reset their hours of service. They have to have 10 hours off to reset their hours of service. And they hand off back and forth and they can run that truck twice as fast because they're both driving back and forth. It's a team driving scenario. It already exists. It's pretty common. And it's two drivers working together. I just think you should leave a driver in the cab and then that driver should tag team with the truck. So the driver can drive and the truck can take over while that driver resets their hours of service. Obviously the technology has to be ready for that to happen. Once the technology is ready for a truck to drive by itself, it certainly is ready for to drive with somebody in that cab because it's obviously safe enough at that point where like the risk of something happening is no greater than a human driver. And so like that's the model that I think is the right model. And I find it can be really hard for people to see that because they think into the future and they're like, well, maybe theoretically we can get to this other one that could have these other benefits. But anyway, you can look at the article and stuff that I wrote, like there's so logistically difficult to create those transfer hubs. It's so hard. And there's so many issues with handoffs and you have such limited flexibility in your driving. And if there's no driver in the truck, there will be tons of times the truck can't actually operate on its own as we're getting started and it'll take forever. So I think it's really important that we have a system where the driver stays in the truck for a long time and we'll be able to have deliveries done in half the time. It'll be a huge advantage for the supply chain. It'll accelerate everything. And it'll be, you can roll it out much faster than if you have a leg where there is no driver at all in the truck.
Fantastic. Well, Dan, we've got two more minutes. I want to be respectful of everyone's time and yours, more importantly. Closing remarks. What's on your mind, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, I think the closing remarks are, you know, this is definitely where the industry's headed. Like what we are talking about with redundant, you know, networks of trucks connected to technology platforms from a visibility, data reporting perspective, better matching combinations of jobs, reducing empty miles, optimization of appointment times, you know, insights and analytics based on the data that help the operators, you know, flexible procurement, flexible trailer pools, like that is the future. And it's going to happen. I hope Convoy is the one that carries us there. Like that is where I'm fired up. I believe we're going to do it. We're a leader in the space right now. But this is where it's going. And so I think if you're looking at where you want to make bets, like that's a bet that's going to happen long-term. So it's a smart one. And then in terms of like Convoy, you mentioned this, like the last couple of years was tough. Like the market was very volatile, but instead of just saying, you know, oh, it's tough, we're going to weather the storm, we just went and invented a bunch of stuff. We actually created new solutions that are really in high demand now. And we use this as a period of time to have more strategic conversations with customers, invent flexible solutions, and roll those flexible solutions out. So we've never been in a position where we've had kind of the kind of control over our margin, our business that we have today. It's hard. It's a hard, when you're buying and selling a spread with principal risk, it's hard in a volatile market. We're not at a point where we have a much stronger operational system to do that. Controls, tools, teams, et cetera. We've seen that now for 6 months of data that have shown like consistent margins around that and expanding. So, you know, I'm never been more fired up. Like the fact that we have that in place now and our customers like what we're doing and the industry is going in this direction, and supply chain is more important than ever. I think there's just a ton of tailwinds around like where we take this. So we got to execute, and it's still hard. It's hard to explain this business sometimes because it's a complicated business, but that's where I am. I'm super fired up, and I think we can go take it.
Well, I'm super happy to be part of your cap table and your journey, Dan. I think you guys are going to be incredible over the next many years. And again, I want to reiterate that for me, what really got it going, I've observed Dan and Convoy for 5 years now. From my perspective, those compounding effects of both product creation and now scale and customer love are taking on a life of their own. And I think that's what got us so excited investing in you. Yeah, well, with that, thank you so much. I appreciate the time. And over to you, John.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, Ram and Dan. Dan, you got me fired up, and I didn't think that was possible when it comes to the trucking industry. So I think you're on to some great, great things here. Keep marching ahead. And Ram, thank you so much for making this possible. I learned a lot, and I'm sure everyone listening did as well. Take care for now.
Thank you.